Well, today's Feast of All Souls actually comes from the declaration of the doctrine of purgatory by the Church. And you might ask, well, where did this come from? It comes from a series of scripture passages, one of which we heard today, right? Because the wisdom literature has this belief, that God can actually help souls after death to be atoned for their sin. And certainly we see in 2 Maccabees, right, where Judas Maccabees makes an offering on behalf of those who have died. It's a sin offering, an atonement offering for those who have already died so that they may be atoned from their sins after death. And then we see that Jesus seems to believe also in this same idea of having forgiveness after death, which is implicit in his statement, right? When he's talking about the sin of the Holy Spirit, and he says, but those who blaspheme against the Holy Spirit will be forgiven neither in this life nor in the next, implying that one could be forgiven in the next life. So for all intents and purposes, we see Paul follows upon this in 2 Timothy, right, praying for one of the families, one of the people of the families who's been very supportive of him, that God have mercy on him after his death. And so there's this tradition that has been, begins, of course, in the Old Testament, certainly it seems to be taken up by Jesus, certainly seems to be taken up by St. Paul, that there is a time of atonement and forgiveness after death. And it was so profoundly believed in the early church, right, that we see, people, the Christians, are scratching on gravestones, right, that they are praying for the dead, right, and they're praying for those who have preceded them. You know, why would you pray for them if you didn't believe that there was something you could do for them in terms of atonement, in terms of forgiveness after death, even if they might already be with God, to at least not take any chances to pray for the deceased and to help them in their atonement is perfect. So the Church declares this doctrine that those who have died, right, but they're imperfectly purified, but they died, being sincerely contrite for their sins, but imperfectly purified, will be taken into a state where that purification will take place. They can't ever go, as it were, to hell from that state, right? Their salvation is protected, but there's a period where of purification that they're going to have to go through, says the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in order to make this, by their own freedom, right? They're going to have to embrace the love that's going to characterize the kingdom of heaven, where they're going to be throughout their eternity in perfect joy with God. So, the purification angle, to purify ourselves of sin, to let go of sinful tendencies, is painful. There's no doubt we have to let go. And of course, that may take some time. We don't, the idea of how much time, we don't know. The idea is it takes the time that it needs to take for us in our freedom to move to that point where we are free to love, and to see others as they are, and to lose all of the impediments that come through sort of selfishness or narcissism, right? And to take on the vision of Christ for everyone, and to be immersed in the love relationship, which is the perfect joy that makes time stand still. So this is the doctrine of purgatory, and of course, so we are here today to celebrate, the fact that there are souls that are on their way to heaven. We don't know who they are. We hope everybody is in heaven, with the Lord, who is our beloved. But we pray for them because we believe in that atonement and forgiveness after death. This idea that we may be imperfectly purified, that in our freedom we're given the chance to accept that kind of purification so that we can love appropriate to the kingdom of heaven. And I think it's tremendous, because if you're anything like me, you might be thinking to yourself, oh man, do I have a lot of long ways to go? And if my freedom has anything to do with it, I'm really hoping that there's a purgatory up there where I can get stuff done I didn't get done down here very well, with a lot of grace of God infused into it. And the church tells us, and Paul tells us, and Maccabees tells us, and Jesus tells us, pray for the dead. Pray for them, because we can help them in that purification and in the atonement that leads ultimately to their joining of the Lord and the blessed in the kingdom of heaven. It's really a beautiful feast in its own way. If you look at it from the vantage point of the love which it hopes to manifest in the future, it's the incredibly beautiful feast that we pray for those who are deceased. So, amen.